Welcome to Catch the Fire Auckland. We hope this message is a blessing to you. You can find us at ctfauckland.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to see you on this fantastic day. And it is, to me, the most favourite day on the whole of the calendar of the year. And tomorrow is my second favourite day because it's our wedding anniversary. And so we're married 35 years tomorrow. Yay us. Love you, darling. The importance of the resurrection of Jesus. I'm just going to talk about that today. I'm going to talk about how it is the most central part of our faith. And I know that this room knows this. Maybe a little bit less gain. I'm a bit echoey up here. Thank you, Roy, for doing sound today. But before I go on, please send a quick prayer for our youth and youth leaders who are at Easter Camp this weekend. And Easter Camp is a very important time of encounter for our youth. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would encounter them. Let's just do a 30-second prayer blast, that our youth would have a God encounter of some kind that would mark their lives forever. So, Lord, we ask for encounters upon encounters of the Trinity, that there would be a tangible mark upon their lives because of what you teach them, how they encounter you, what they experience, what they hear through the Word of God, and their friends, and the ministry that's going on at Easter Camp. Lord, we ask that your resurrection power would touch them in some way. God, we ask for healed bodies. We ask for addictions to be broken. We ask for salvations to come, that they would come into the kingdom. Lord, that they would not just go over the threshold of salvation, but they would be baptized in the love of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask for our youth to come back on even more on fire than they actually are before they even went there. Amen? Amen. They are our future. They are our future leaders in the body of Christ. And we want to make sure that they are encountering God having their own revival. And so don't get me started on that topic. Okay, Christianity is the only faith where its leader died and was raised from the dead and is still alive. Christianity is the only faith that has a God who died and rose again. And if Jesus hadn't died and rose again, he would have just remained a mere mortal. He would have been in the history books as another prophet or another religious leader or, you know, at best, you know, a historic figure that revealed part of who God was. But because he rose again, because of the resurrection, that sets him apart and Christianity apart from all other religions. We have we follow a God and are communing with a God who is not dead. He is not a stone idol. He is not a past prophet figure. He is alive today in you and me. That is the defining separation and the thing that when people say Jesus is the only way to God, he actually is the only way to God because he rose from the dead. No other prophet ever rose from the dead. That's good news, Valda. It was very usual for people to die on the cross, as in the, you know, there was three crosses on that hill. Other people died of that brutal, awful, awful death, but they weren't raised. But our Jesus was. The resurrection is the defining event in, of our faith. And it makes him divine. The resurrection is proof that Jesus is the Son of God. He said he was the Son of God. He quoted scriptures about himself, but he also fulfilled the scriptures about himself. He is the only God who actually fulfilled that which was said about him. I think that's profound. So the resurrection is proof that he's the Son of God, that he was the one who was prophesied to come. And in order to do that, he had to die and then be raised again in 3 days. And it's the evidence that the whole Bible is inspired and divine. The resurrection defines the scriptures as true. Matthew 17, 22-23 says this, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But of course, the people listening didn't understand until after the event. And they went, ah, this is that. The resurrection witnesses to the immense sovereign power of God. If he didn't have such power, he wouldn't be worthy of the worship that we gave him this morning. The resurrection witnesses to the unimaginable sovereign power of God Almighty. Death could not hold him down. In the resurrection of Jesus from the grave, God reminds us of his absolute sovereignty over life and death. God is the creator of life, and only God can raise a dead thing back to life. No magic, no demon, no other God, but the God who created life. He is the only God that can bring something dead back to life. That is the power of the resurrection and the proof of the sovereign power of God. A dead Savior cannot save you. Only a resurrected Savior can save you. Death could not hold him, but we have a living Savior who justifies us and is continually making intercession for our lives. And he is alive in heavenly places making intercession for you and me. He's not just a historic figure, but the resurrection proves of the living God who is still praying for you. How amazing is that? It is not what we can do for him, it is what he is for us, is why we worship. He is the Savior of you and I, and he is the potential Savior of the world. Well, he is the Savior of the world if they embrace him. Hebrews 7:25, "Therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them." If the world, if humanity embraces Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, they will be saved. So the wages of sin is death. We know this. The resurrection from death opened the way for humanity to be saved from sin and death. You can't save yourself from sin. But as Stuart said before, when we are born again into a new man that escapes death. When my parents died, both my parents and both of Stuart's parents have died. And all believers thank the Lord in their own way. Very Presbyterian, but they believed in Jesus Christ. And I can't say that they're dead. They've just left. They've just left. They're just somewhere else because of the resurrection. We live in eternity. We can live for eternity because of the resurrection. And your loved ones who know the Lord and have passed on have just gone somewhere else. Because of the resurrection, we are raised. Oh, it is such a powerful day to sit in it. And my encouragement to you is that we sit in these truths and let them go a level deeper to revelation in our hearts. So what does this mean for us personally? It means that because of Jesus' resurrection, you are forgiven. The Lord said to me in preparation for this morning, some of you have not yet embraced the fullness of Christ's forgiveness in your life. But you can place your trust in the death and resurrection and receive full forgiveness for your sins. It's because of Him that we can receive full forgiveness. And the forgiveness of our sin has actually got nothing to do with the type of sin. It's got all to do with the power of Jesus Christ and what He shed on the cross, the blood, complete payment. You no longer have to go to the court of heaven and stand there and be found guilty. Everything is being paid for in full. The full justice of all your sin is done. You don't have to fear passing on to the pearly gates because you already have someone who has paid the price in full and all the justice has been fulfilled. Isn't that amazing? Because of the resurrection, you are forgiven and He can redeem your failures and messes. He can redeem all your mistakes. Colossians 1:13-14. He who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. God can redeem even the worst mistake that you have made because the power of sin is death, but the power of sin has been overcome through the resurrection. Jesus has overcome death and is alive. And so when we're born again into the family of God, we enter into the inheritance that He has paid the price for. You are truly forgiven. Is there something that you still feel unforgiven for? Today is a day where you need to embrace the majesty and mighty power of the cross and resurrection, of His death. Okay, another one. Because of Jesus has risen, you can have a meaningful life. I like this one. Your life has meaning. Your life has purpose. In the Passion Translation, the Apostle Paul drove this home in 1 Corinthians 15:58. In the Passion, it says this, "So now, beloved ones, stand firm, stable and enduring. Live your lives with unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper and excel in every season." And what does that mean? If you take that sentence out, whether you're having a spiritual summer, winter, autumn or spring, you're going to prosper. In the kingdom of God, there is no recession. And I declare that over everybody's household in this place and over our household. Just because New Zealand is in recession, your life does not need to be in recession. Scripture says that through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and being born again and one with Him, we know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord. Because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive, say productive, with fruit that endures. So your life is designed with Christ to be prosperous, to excel as you serve him. You are assured of your union with him, and every thing that your hand puts to and produces labor and fruitfulness, that will endure. Hallelujah. The resurrection gives us life, gives life to your life. The resurrection gives life to your life. It gives purpose because we are one with the one who was sent to redeem the world back to the Father, to restore, to reconcile all the R words back to the Father. Then because you're one with him, you automatically have a high call of God on your life. You are part of the master plan. And so that gives us power, and it gives us purpose, a higher purpose, and his resurrection makes that possible. Because of Jesus' resurrection displayed unimaginable power, you can also live a powerful life today. Because of the resurrection power that came upon Jesus, because that power raised him and raised us, you now have the inheritance of living with resurrection power. Paul references the power of his resurrection, and in Philippians 10 says this: I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. And what I want you to see in this, that Paul isn't talking about the power displayed in resurrecting Christ, that power that came upon his body or from his body, depending on which way you want to look at it. He's talking about the power that now flows because of the resurrection. So there's a power that came upon him or came from him and raised him from that dead, embalmed and wrapped and entombed state, and that came upon him, and that then raised him back to life. And I do find it interesting that he folded his garments and put them nicely on the stone slab, and then why did he do that? It is finished. What do you think? He's coming back. He wanted his clothes. Thank you. He didn't leave them on the floor for Mary to launder them and get them ready again, did he? Paul's talking about the power that now flows because of the resurrection. And this is what we get to enjoy. This is what we get to use to overcome in our life. This is the power that we have been given to overcome the power of the enemy in others. So it's for us. So because of the resurrection, we now have power flowing in and through our lives, but then it can also be when we minister to others and set the captives free. Hallelujah. So the core message, let's look at Ephesians 1:18. Paul wrote, I pray that the eyes of your understanding... I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The core message of the whole book of Ephesians really is about the life that is now available to us because of the resurrection, the relationship with God, the intimacy with God that is available to us because Jesus overcame death and sin. Because Christ has risen, you can live a never-ending life. Do you realize, as a believer, you will live for eternity? Eternity is a very long time. We live, what, approximately 80 years, give or take 10? 80 years, approximately. Not prophesying. But we get to live, we get to move on from this place and go to a place where God is. And we get to live eternity with him because of Christ rose. Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die flesh, he shall live. John 25. And that is a promise. We can live with eternal perspective because of the resurrection. Whereabouts do we need an attitude shift? Where do we need a perspective shift on our lives and on the lives of those around us? Where do we need to shift into an eternal perspective and see things from an eternal perspective? Disappointments, train wrecks, mistakes, messes are just temporary. You will live as a believer in Jesus Christ and accepting him as Lord and Savior, inviting him to be Lord of your life. You get to live here and now with an eternal perspective, but you also get to live for eternity in the glory of God. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Remember the old hymn? And it was going round and round in my heart this morning, was it last night or something, I was singing that song. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. All fear is gone. Anywhere that we fear in our lives, we fear rejection, we fear making a mistake, we fear confrontation. It's because we don't have a heavenly perspective, we don't have an eternal perspective. The resurrection is tangible proof that the worst obstacles that we'll face in this life, even death, can be overcome. So even if you're facing overwhelming resistance and opposition in your life right now, you can overcome because Jesus has overcome it all. If he can raise himself from dead, or the Father can raise him from the dead, he can definitely deal with your mess. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. There is a place of emotional and spiritual and physical rest that we can step into this side of heaven because he has overcome everything. It's resting in who he is, not our own ability to solve the things that we face. You know, there's some of you that need to know that you're forgiven. There's some of you that think that thing I did, or that thing that happened, or that mistake that I made is unforgivable. And that is a lie to keep you separated from the power of the resurrection. That is a lie that keeps you separated from the one who can release you from that, from intimacy with God, from receiving life. We serve a God who's alive. But sometimes our mindsets can keep that life out there. We actually have the assurance of being redeemed and reconciled to God forever and ever. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There are some in here that have addictions, that you have given up hope trying to overcome in your own strength. Jesus and the power of resurrection, the resurrection power, can purify us from all unrighteousness. We need a heavenly perspective on our situations. It's prideful to think that what you've done, Jesus can't forgive. There's some of you here that need assurance that your loved ones are not dead but are alive. And the grief is sitting still in your soul. And we grieve the loss of being physically with our loved ones, but they're still, if they know the Lord, they're still alive. And there's a grief that Jesus can take from you if a loved one has passed and they didn't come into the kingdom that you know of. There's a grief that can sit on us. I didn't do enough. I didn't witness enough. I couldn't get them over the line. And there's a shame that comes upon us. God wants to give you reassurance that if he can raise Jesus from the dead, he can redeem everything. I love what Stuart read out in Luke 24:5. Why are you looking in the place of the dead for someone who is alive? Some of us get stuck in the fact that my loved one died, and there's a full stop. And we can get... we're looking down into the death as opposed to up into the resurrection. Some of you need to remember how all-powerful God is today. The resurrection showed us the unimaginable. Up until that moment in time in history, nobody had been raised from the dead. This was like God showing up on the planet and showing us who he really is, in a way that is just marked time, marked history, and people are trying to change our BC and AD and to something else more woke. But the bottom line is the death and resurrection, the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ shifted the whole planet. It doesn't matter what they call it, doesn't change the fact that him being born of a virgin and then dying on the cross and being raised again shifted the whole planet. This is a God who is all powerful. And God can deal with your mess and he can raise you up out of whatever you're in. Let's stand. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Jesus, I ask that you would begin to walk amongst us right now. Walk amongst us. Jesus, you're with us always. We invite your manifest presence to walk amongst us here. And I call forth the power of the kingdom right now to touch every life. That resurrection power would touch every single person in this room. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can be reconciled to the Father except through you. You are the gate. You are the door. You are the one. We thank you, God, for your power. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for making a way for all who choose to be saved, forgiven, redeemed, and raised to relationship with God. I want to make an invitation today. First of all, if you have never given your heart, life, and soul to the Lord Jesus and made him Lord, acknowledged him, Jesus, you are Lord, and you, I want you to be my Lord. If you've never done that, I want to make an opportunity today on Resurrection Sunday, the best day on the plan, in the calendar to do, to give your heart to the Lord is today. Any day is a good day, forgive me, but today is a great day. It represents you coming back to life, being born again. I just want you to raise your hand. Just give me an indication. Is there anyone in this room that your heart will be pounding at this point because the Spirit of God inside of you is going, do it, do it, do it. Come on, come on, come on. Is there anybody in this room that today is the day where you say, yes, I actually believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Saviour of all humanity and I want to make him Lord of my life? Okay. Holy Spirit, begin to move in the room. Begin to move in the room. And I now call forth the Spirit of God to touch every heart. And I release now in the Spirit and into your very inner being, I release the truth that you are truly 100% forgiven for everything that you have ever done. You are fully, fully forgiven. Sometimes what needs to happen is we need to accept the forgiveness. And the Lord said to me, there are people here that have not embraced, accepted, or received the fullness of forgiveness. Where shame lifts off, where blame lifts off, where self-rejection lifts off. That's when you know you've embraced the fullness of forgiveness of Jesus Christ. So I release now the truth into your inner being that you are fully, fully forgiven. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So just confess whatever needs to be confessed between you and the Lord. Don't worry about the person next door to you. Just confess it, and he is faithful. I'm sitting on this because there's some yokes that need to be broken today. And this is a step, is confessing just under your breath between you and the Lord. Lord, I just confess that. I confess my self-rejection, and I confess my beating myself up about that for years. I confess my unbelief about the fact that that's too big for you to forgive me for, that somehow you'll punish me because of it. All those things, those thoughts. Just confess that, and he is faithful to set you free from that yoke of slavery today. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Holy Spirit, move. We're going to We're going to move into a time where of ministry now, and we're going to continue on with this thing. If there is something in your life that seems like a giant that you can't overcome, God is bigger than your mess. God is bigger than your addiction. God is bigger than your sickness. God is bigger than the disease. God is bigger than anything that you're facing. He is your provider. He's big enough to provide where you are lacking. He is the God of abundance. He is a God who provides everything that we need. Holy Spirit, ask that you would just move in the room right now. Yes, God. I'm just going to do a blanket prayer, and then we're going to call people forward if they want to get personal one-on-one ministry. In the name of the Jesus, the resurrected Christ, the power. There's a reason why we say there's power in his name. It's because there's literal resurrection power when you declare the name of Jesus. So I just declare Jesus over every sickness, over every disease. I break the stronghold right now of sickness and disease, and I release the power of God into your body to heal and restore every part back to its original design. Give me a wave and if you've got something going on in your body that needs healing. I know what I do. I'm putting my hand up. I've got funny knees and funny wrists and things going on, and you know, it's just so annoying to be unwell because you can't sort of fulfill everything that you're meant to do if you're unwell. It's just all sickness is basically from the pit of hell. And so Jesus, we are reminded today that Jesus went down into hell and took the keys back. So I loose you from every disease. I loose you from every sickness. Praying that over my own life. All pain leaves your body now in his resurrection power invading your body. Everywhere that there is imperfection inside of your body, I now break the power of every assignment of the enemy to afflict you with a spirit of infirmity, and now I loose you from that spirit of infirmity, and I release the power of Jesus Christ risen. He conquered. I release that into your every cell and molecule of your physical body now in Jesus' name. And I declare healing and full health, full health, full health, full health. No pain, no niggles, no issues, no sickness, no disease can remain in a child of God. It is illegal. It is a legal alien. It's an illegal alien in the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Everything that's wrong with your body is not okay with God. So I just now declare healing wave right across the room. Holy Spirit, move and touch. Woo! Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And I now take authority over addiction. Do you want to come and help me with that?
Yeah, I was getting during worship just death, where's your sting? And the last enemy to be defeated was death. Before that, all the others were defeated. So we just come against any addiction right now. Your chains are broken. We come against fear and we say you have no hold on your children anymore in Jesus' name. And we speak to the past as well, and we say that you have no hold on me. We say to despair and depression, where's your grip? You get off these children in Jesus' name. So right now, over those things, we release resurrection power in this place right now. Come and get what's yours. As a child of God, those things fall to the ground right now. Right now, just loose it off you in Jesus' name. Death, where is your sting? Go in Jesus' name. Just loose it from you now. Let it go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It has no hold on you. It has no hold on you. It has no right to you. in Christ. You're in Christ. So that leaves now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, receive his Holy Spirit, receive his healing, receive his hope where there has been no hope. Receive truth where you've been held in a stronghold of a lie. Receive it now. Just breathe it in. Let it come right down to your DNA, right down into every part of you. Resurrection, life and power be released in you in Jesus' name. Hope.
Thank you, Kath. That was powerful. Amen. Amen. We say yes and amen. It's really funny that right at the very end, the presence, the glory of God just drops. Did you feel that? I know some of you are already thinking about hot cross buns, but I want you to just take a moment when the glory of God just moves down in the room. Take a moment and just be in that glorious presence, which we never take for granted. You don't want to hurry on from this level of glory when he moves in the room. The cloud descends. Oof. Wow. Let him hug you with his glory. Oof. The scripture says that there's a wrap around glory. Wrap around. Thank you, Lord. Wrap around glory. I hear the Spirit of the Lord actually just saying to remind all of us, as we were raised with Christ, we now have the ministry of Christ. We have the ministry of Christ as a purpose in our lives to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, to restore, to declare, to walk as ambassadors of Christ here on this earth. He is anointing us once again with his immense presence and power. Some of you are feeling a bit washed up on the side of the bank of the river, and I just saw a picture of that, and you know, getting back in the river, or the which is basically a metaphor for the flow of God, is a single step. You can go from sitting on the bank to just stepping into the river and flowing with him. So it's a conscious choice of God, I'm getting back in the flow. If that's you, just say, Lord, I'm getting back in the flow. Getting back in the flow of what you're doing through my life. Getting back in the flow. Whew. I will pray for people. I will deliver them from demons. I will pray for the sick. I will release the presence of God to people. I will pray for people that way they would encounter you in some way, whether it be love, fire, wind, rain, refreshing. I will be your hands and feet, Jesus. I will pray for people. I will minister. Oh, there's a call to re-engagement today. Shaka. Wow. Yes, God. Now he's saying, now you can go and eat your hot cross buns. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lindley. Before we go to hot cross buns, I just had a, I don't know if I'm hearing in the room or not, but one of the things that I like the study of scripture and different things, and sometimes the argument around the resurrection can be, well, the evidence for the resurrection's in the Bible, and the Bible's about the resurrection. So how can the Bible be a proof unto itself? So, but I just want you to, if that's kind of that thought is running around in your head anywhere, then I encourage you to go and look at the non-biblical evidences for the resurrection. And even the Jewish, you know, there's Jewish historians and Roman historians that talk about the resurrection of Christ. And, you know, one of the ones that sort of I sort of reference is, you know, the Jewish people of the day, there was no denying that the tomb was empty. You know, their explanation for the tomb being empty was that Jesus' body was stolen. But nobody thought to explain how this tomb that was sealed by the government and Roman soldiers put in front of it, how that someone managed to come and roll the stone away and steal him. So, you know, it's not just about the Bible that talks about resurrection, is my point. It is an historical fact. And that in that we rest. And with that thought, hot cross buns. Or ministry, if you would like ministry, come forward. So, bless you guys. I pray that the rest of this week, I encourage you to meditate on what the resurrected Christ means for you. What does resurrection, you know, Lindley outlined a bunch of different aspects of what that might look like. And so, you know, pick one that's for you and just meditate on that during the week. You know, how does the resurrection shift me? What changes because he's risen and lives in me? A good thing to think about over the morning coffee. Bless you guys, and we'll see you next Sunday, 9 or 11. How many 11 o'clockers do we have here this morning? Oh, God bless you for waking up early. I pray it wasn't too difficult. But enjoy today. Enjoy today with family, and we'll see you again soon. Bless you guys.